Part 2. Family. Chapter 6. Saving Charlie. The greatest battles are won in the mind, Liza repeated to herself as she drove to work. The rural drive from Fort Scott to Girard was not long. The road was vacant of traffic, and she liked that. The commute gave her those moments to think. To think about her own recovery, and about what she was going to accomplish that day at the SEK Addiction Treatment Center. Liza was grateful for her recovery. The last 4 weeks had been emotionally exhausting. The past kept pressing into the present. At the Open Alcoholics Anonymous meeting last night, Liza's friend had told her, "You are only as sick as your secrets." Liza had been invited to tell her story before Charlie went missing. She met her obligation to speak at the open meeting, never having the breath fully returned to her lungs or the pain in her heart leave as she prayed for Charlie's safe return. Charlie could be dead. Drugs and booze may have caused him to black out. Charlie was officially missing. At the open AA meeting, Liza's wiry 5'2" body had stood tall and proud throughout the entire presentation. Toward the end of her long talk, her gravelly voice had been even drier than normal. She spoke at the highest level of truth. She told her life story and the lessons learned. Over 15 years had passed since that cold day she had knelt in the falling snow. In that spiritual moment, the first 3 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous had come alive in her surrender. Today, her life had once again become unmanageable due to the progressive addiction of her son, Charlie. His addictive behavior had again shown Liza how powerless she was. SEK Addiction Treatment Center had been a godsend for her. Established in 1991, it offered her a chance to repay the recovery world for the gift of her own life. A decade plus years in recovery, she still saw recovery as a gift. Every day she worked her program. Those life lessons expressed from the heart are powerful gifts that heal others. She had worked herself from a case manager to a counselor to a supervisor to team leader, and now to the position of lead counselor, which she had been doing for the last 5 years. Her involvement in direct client care had lessened, though she still counseled on family days. Family days were very important to her. She tried to bring insight to family members. Addicts are very disruptive to family living. In a confrontation while drunk, Charlie had recently assaulted his father-in-law, Joe. Then he left town in a drunken, drug-filled daze. Charlie had vanished. Gone. For weeks, Liza had struggled with the recent death of her ex-husband, John. Then Charlie disappeared, completely off the map. There was so much going on in her life. John, who lived in California, had either committed suicide or been killed. That sent trauma into an already disturbed and opioid-addicted man, their son, Charlie. She refused to allow the death of her ex-husband and the struggle with her son to consume her. She must face her responsibility head-on today, just like every other day. She must knock the negative thoughts from her mind. She decided to instead contemplate all the joy in her life, the recent birth of her granddaughter Emma. The pressures of life, a new baby, and the death of his father were causing Charlie to unravel. He was self-medicating to cope with a military service injury, and his alcohol addiction had progressed rapidly. The struggle now was to enter the treatment facility and do her job. As she made the last turn, driving past the hospital on the back side of the campus, she saw a sheriff's patrol car. This was not an uncommon event to see at the facility. Often, patients were brought into the substance abuse treatment facilities by officers. Sometimes they were transfers to and from jail. Today, there was just something about seeing the car that brought dread to her heart. Parking her car and getting out, Liza reached for her briefcase. "Things are going to be okay today," she reminded herself. "Things are going to be okay," she thought, as she began walking towards the building. A sheriff's deputy, Jess Redden, stepped out of the patrol car. Jess was her dead ex-husband's brother. He was a large man in full uniform, complete with gun, taser, and bulletproof vest, making him seem larger than life. His fists were balled up at his sides as he stormed towards her, and Liza could not help thinking, what's his dry drunk problem now? Jess had long ago given up alcohol, yet he had no serenity about him. He was always ready for a fight. His resentments toward John and Charlie ran deep. Liza had known that she had been a lousy parent at times. The struggle and the pain of that seemed to come and go. Certainly helping others had helped to heal some of those old wounds. Facing off with Jess and his large frame this early in the morning brought back a lot of fear and anxiety. Jess blamed Charlie's problems on her and John. With 8 years between them, Jess and John still looked a lot alike. They could have been twins. Those gut-level feelings of spousal abuse, vulnerability, and male disregard flooded through Liza and stopped her dead in her tracks. "We have got Charlie," he shouted from 15 feet away as he walked towards her. "We have got your kid." The man always looked like he was getting ready for a fight. There was no need for that right now. Liza had tried to shoulder the burden of raising Charlie and his older brother Robert alone. She knew her failings. Sobriety did not come for her until Charlie was 12 years old. Robert had set his own path. Robert was succeeding in spite of her illness, but not so for Charlie. Charlie was failing. Now John, Jess's brother, was dead. Bringing her back to the present, Deputy Jess bellowed, "Charlie was found in a gas station in Independence, Missouri, and we got him on a transfer. The little shit is in our jail now. The officers up there said he was just plain out of it. The warrant from Joe's assault complaint came up, so the Independence Police Department held him for us." Liza thought to herself, here comes that angry, dry, drunk attitude again. "Jess, I do not need your attitude. I do not need your crap." Liza kept quiet, though. Jess was just too close and so damn big. Besides, we both knew John and I had failed Charlie. She could not keep quiet any longer. "Jess, Charlie is a sick person. He needs to get well. He has an addiction and has relapsed. He is not a criminal needing to be judged by you." This was his duty. That is the way Jess saw worthless druggies. So, once again, he was making the rules and confronting Liza. Jess felt bad about John on many levels. Losing a brother was not easy. Jess looked at the choices that John had made in his life, the drugs in his youth, then marrying Liza so young and having two children. John did so many drugs, and he sold even more. He had protected John as much as he could, maybe too much. Jess, as an older brother, had felt like John's father. Jess felt deep sorrow when John continued to destroy his life. Jess had taken on a parenting role when he came back from the Vietnam War. Jess had white-knuckled the war and, once stateside, returned to being sober. He had turned it all inward and just locked it all up inside. He drank heavy for a while and then he just stopped. For Jess, this created a resentful dry drunk. John should have just stopped too. He should have never started the drugs. He did not have a war he was trying to escape from. John got into constant trouble. Jess rescued him. That brother frustrated him. Why did he not just stop? It really pissed him off that he now had to deal with Charlie, John's drunken son, too. Where the hell was John anyway? Dead. Dead in California from an overdose. Maybe a bad drug deal. Who knows? At this point, Jess did not even care. He had to take care of addicts his whole life, and he was sick of it. No, there was no serenity in Jess. He was sober, and that is where it stopped. He was an angry, resentful, dry drunk. Jess said, "Liza, he just needs to grow up. Grow up." Liza replied, "Jess, he is not taking his father's recent death well. No matter what John was to you or me, he was still Charlie's father. He was blind to his failings. He lost his father." Jess said, Well, Robert is doing okay. How come Charlie cannot? Maybe he could go back to school or something. Jess, you know Charlie struggled since coming back from Afghanistan. Plus, he has a new baby, and now he no longer has a father. Right, father. Bullshit, Jess shouted. Liza, here's the deal. He was wandering around with his car in a ditch near Independence, Missouri. I got him. Don't know why I would want him, but I got him. And he keeps mumbling stuff about being on a mission from the president. I do believe he is still coming down off whatever crap he was on.
Jess, is he safe?
Well, he's locked up.
Liza said, Jess, just go through the normal protocols. Call someone in to assess him and treat him like you would anyone else.
Well, there's one more problem, Liza. He had a dog with him, a large reddish-brown Labrador.
Charlie does not have a dog, Jess.
He does now, and he says it is his.
Where is this dog now?
The dog is in the back of my patrol car, and I am taking her straight to the city pound. They will have to destroy the dog there.
You are not going to destroy the dog. I will sort it out, Jess. Just give me the damn dog.
Well, Charlie calls the dog Zoe, not damn.
Jess laughed at his own joke.
The dog's name tag says Rosie. You can call the dog damn or whatever you want, I don't care. Either way, you take the dog or it goes to the pound. Charlie is a mess, Liza. Between you and my brother, that kid is really screwed up.
Liza thought to herself, I could not save my ex-husband, and I cannot fix my son, but I sure as hell am not going to let you kill the dog. Listen, Jess, if the owner comes forward, just tell them where the dog is.
I will take the dog now, Liza said.
Liza went on, between my dead ex-husband, my own struggle with addiction, and a war in Afghanistan, Jess, yes, Charlie is screwed up. Liza continued, that is what life is about, living against the forces of our lives. Jess, you do not have to be so damn angry nor confront everyone. I get your point.
Liza said, let us live our lives the best we can, clean up the wreckage of our addiction.
Jess, how about we try to heal those around us? I hope life heals Charlie. I hope life does bring him around. He has had more happen to him in his life than should have happened to him in 10 lifetimes.
Jess said, well, you need to do something with him. He is outrageous and he is dangerous.
Like I said, Jess, Liza replied, have him assessed. That is all we can do today.
Now, if you will excuse me, I have a dog to take care of and a job to do.